Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Is anyone grateful for the things that he has done? You might not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. God's got some incredible plans for your heart, for your life, this service. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's believe God. He's going to speak to us today. Some of you have read the Easter story 1,000 times. Some of you, this will be the first time, but I believe God's got something for you today from this Easter story. Let's just open our hearts. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to earth as a little baby. He grew, he lived, and he died a cruel death on a cross. But 3 days later, he rose again. And I thank you for this opportunity to share the Easter story today. Lord, I pray that you would highlight some areas in our lives that we need to change and grow and become more like you. We thank you that the grave was not the end. Today is a story of victory. Amen. Amen. You guys can take your seats. As I mentioned already, we actually believe the Easter story. A lot of people just think it's a kid's story, but we actually believe it. In fact, I believe every word in the Bible. I trust the Bible. I believe God's word is the roadmap for our lives to live by. And Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection have changed people's lives in history, and they will continue to change people's lives for eternity. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope this day. We are living in a hopeless world, but Jesus brings the hope for us to hold on to. And Jesus' arrest, his death, and his burial, and his resurrection happened over a three-day period. Many of you will be familiar with the story. On Good Friday, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested, he was tried, he was crucified, and he was buried, all in the space of 24 hours. Then on Saturday, which was yesterday, it's called Silent Saturday because we don't have many details from the Gospels of what took place on that day. All we know is Pilate orders a guard to secure the tomb. I had a friend who did that with his mother-in-law. You can never be too careful. And then we have Resurrection Sunday, which is today. Jesus rises again. Renewed hope. Death has been defeated. Maybe you've come in for the first time and thought, why is everybody so happy? We're meant to be in a lockdown. We're meant to be sad. I'll tell you why, because we have something even deeper and greater than what we're experiencing on the outside. We have our living Savior, Jesus, on the inside. And these 3 days of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday give us an example of something to follow for our lives. 1 Peter 2, chapter 21 says this, "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example." Over these 3 days, Jesus gives us a model for when life falls apart. Who would be brave enough to say that over the past 12 months that your life somewhere has fallen apart? My hands up. Friday for Jesus was a day of unimaginable pain. The worst day possible, imaginable for mankind. Many of you over the last 12 months, you have experienced unimaginable pain. Some of you have been separated from a loved one, maybe even at their death. Some of you have experienced having COVID. Some of you have lost a loved one in this season and not been able to be by their side. You understand pain. And Friday represented pain. For others of you, it's a Saturday. I'm going to call Saturday the day of confusion. Because nobody knew what was going to happen next. It was the first day the world had without Jesus. He was dead. Maybe for you, you've experienced the loss of a loved one. And often the day they died was tough, but I'm told the day after excruciating grief and confusion. Friday, the day of pain. Saturday, the day of confusion. But there was a brighter day coming, Sunday. I'm going to call Sunday today the day of victory. The sun shines again. And through this Easter story, Jesus gives us a picture of what our life is. A picture. Often there will be days of pain, Fridays. Often there will be days of confusion. And then the sun will shine, Sundays. And in all our lives, we're going to experience these three types of days over and over and over again. One day you're full of fear or confusion. The next day you're like, I just feel so much better. Who's had so many of those days the last 12 months? I've had all those three days in one day. And some of you, you're in pain right now. Maybe it's in your body or in your mind. Others are confused and you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? Maybe you've been furloughed. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your career's come to an end. Maybe you lost a loved one and you're in this season of confusion. Or maybe for some of you, life's real good. It's Sunday. You just received the promotion, received your bonus. You've reconnected with your family for the first time. You feel good, and that's good, and we want your Sunday to continue. But here's what I feel. If Jesus experienced these three days, so will we. So the question is not, will we, but how will we? How will we deal with our Fridays of pain? How do we get through our Saturdays of confusion? And how do we reach our Sundays of victory? So if you're taking notes, if you've got a smartphone, you can jot some of these thoughts down, because I know how life works. Life doesn't always play along. You can be doing really well on one day and suddenly you get a phone call or suddenly something happens and everything changes. Wouldn't life be so much sweeter if every day was Resurrection Sunday? February the 2nd, 2018 was a life-changing day for our family, but especially for Chantel. It was a sunny day. Kids' lunch boxes were packed. It was a Monday, and it was a school run for Daddy. All was running late. Kids were probably doing their teeth in the back of the car. You know those Mondays. And just as we were getting in the car, Chantel's phone rings. A family member from Los Angeles. My wife's from California. She gets a call to say that her dad, who'd just 2 years before she'd reconnected with her birth dad, had been shot in a drive-by shooting in downtown LA. Suddenly, Sunday turns into Friday. The fear, the pain, the anguish, the anger. Chantel went for over those next few hours, and tragically, he lost his fight just a few moments later. Her world went upside down. And suddenly this Sunday turned into a Friday in our home. The days of pain were about to begin. And then the pain subsided for a bit and the days of confusion kicked in. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've experienced loss and you've experienced pain. And we question life. And we question God. God, where are you? How did you allow this to happen? Come on, let's just be honest here. I'm sharing the story of Chantel is because somehow Chantel has managed to navigate through her days of pain and her days of confusion. The Bible says this. It says in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, weeping will endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your confusion is. I don't know what's happening in your world right now. I don't know what the challenges are, but there is a promise coming that you might be experiencing pain and defeat and rejection right now, but there is a promise from God that there is a day of change, of victory, of recovery coming. And here's the reality, church. All of us are going to face these 3 days repeatedly for the rest of our lives. I wish I could just click my fingers and we go into a Sunday resurrection for the rest of our life. That's not going to happen. That's called heaven. Heaven, there is no more pain. There is no more sickness. There is no more lockdown. There is no more COVID. There is, but we've got to deal with how do we handle this thing called life here on earth. And Jesus sets us the example. Jesus sets us this blueprint, this map of how to deal with it from the Easter story of a pain-filled Friday, a confused-filled Saturday, but a life of victory Sunday. The title of my message today, if you're taking notes, that was the intro. That was the freebie. Your Sunday's coming. Turn to the person next to you and say, your Sunday's coming. Your Sunday's coming. Turn to the person on the other side, your second choice, your second favorite. Your Sunday's coming. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter your postcode. Every single person on planet Earth will always face these 3 days. So the question is how? Number one. Okay, are you ready? Let's unpack these. Number one. How do we deal with Fridays of pain? It might have been a good Friday for humanity, but it certainly wasn't a good Friday for Jesus. Unimaginable pain. Jesus suffered 3 types of pain on Good Friday. Number one, he suffered physical pain. Isaiah 53 says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus suffered excruciating, unimaginable pain. He was whipped 39 times. He was slapped. He was spat on. A crown of thorns was forced into his head. The Bible says his beard was plucked out. Can you imagine that, man? Sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, but I'm not sorry. Because that's what Jesus suffered. So that we could experience freedom in this life. He was crucified. What is crucifixion? It's basically death by suffocation. Then they placed a spear in his side to finish the job. The theme for this Easter is no greater love. That is not a picture. That is not a gruesome picture. That is a picture of love. A picture of love. Jesus suffered physical pain, but he also suffered psychological pain. Some of you know what that's like. Jesus hung on that cross naked. It was death by humiliation. Death is something that we want our closest family, not even our friends. I don't want my friends at my deathbed. I want the people who are nearest and dearest to me. Do you know who Jesus had? Jesus had his enemies. Jesus had his enemies next to him when he died. Can you imagine the psychological pain of having to look at your enemies and your enemies are looking on and laughing, mocking, spitting? And you're hanging there naked for all to see. Jesus suffered physical pain. He suffered psychological pain, but that wasn't the end. He suffered spiritual pain. Because every theft, every murder, every lie, every rape, he took it on his back. You know how guilty we all feel when we do something wrong, we say something, we lie, we do something we should, and we feel that guilt in that moment. Jesus took over 100 billion people's guilt onto his back in that moment. Can you imagine the feelings that he suffered? Now, here's some good news. Jesus did two things when he was experiencing pain. These are two things I want us to think about, jot down. When you struggle and when you're feeling pain, whether it's physical, psychological, or spiritual, here's what Jesus did. His pain didn't start on the cross. It started earlier that day in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he models for us two things when we're in pain. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Jesus says, Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. The first thing that Jesus did when he was anticipating and struggling with pain is he reached out to his friends. On the morning Jesus was arrested and betrayed and crucified, Jesus gathers his nearest and dearest to him. Now, this passage shows us something really interesting. Write this down. Even the Son of God needed friends. Even the Son of God needed friends when he was in his pain. Verse 38 says, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed. One of the attributes I love about Jesus is his sense of honesty. Now, here's a takeaway. It's never a mistake to share your pain. If Jesus had to share his pain, guess what we do? We were created for friendship. We were created for community. And if you are experiencing, whether you're watching online, whether you're in the room, if you are experiencing dark thoughts, if you are experiencing thoughts like, I can't do life anymore, if you're experiencing dark thoughts like Jesus was, share them with someone you trust. Jesus did exactly that. This is the exact opposite of what we want to do. When we're going through physical, psychological, or spiritual pain, what do we want to do? We want to retreat. We want to isolate. We want to push down those feelings. But God never designed you or I to go through life by ourselves. We need each other. This is why Chantel and I have been so on the front end of keeping the doors of this church open. Why? Because I know that many people in our community are going through psychological, physical, and spiritual pain, and this church is a hospital. We are a hospital. And if you're spiritually broken, psychologically broken, you can come in here, and this is a safe place for you to talk to someone. God never designed any of us to go through life by ourselves. And the church is here for you. We're not just a happy, clappy Sunday church. We are here for your Fridays, and we are here for your Saturdays, and we are here when no one else is here. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. We've got to express our pain, not suppress it. If you are going through pain right now, express it. It doesn't matter how small or how big, you need to talk to someone. If Jesus had to talk to someone, it means we do. We have groups in this church, small groups. We gather on a Sunday, but we have midweek groups. We have cycling groups. We have football groups. We have a Norwich fanzine group. We have Bible study groups. We have leadership groups. Someone help me. We have more groups than you can imagine. Business groups. We have groups. Why do we have groups? Because we understand the power of doing life together. And so if you're not part, if you just rock up on a Sunday and think this is all we are, no, we are far more than that. If you want to help us pack boxes in the warehouse to send to some of the most needy families in our city, we create groups to do that. Come and be part of it. Come and find a place where you can express who you are and express your pain and find comfort and community in this time. Now, Jesus didn't just share it with his friends, he did something else. Because friends are great, but who knows, friends can't be there all the time. Jesus found this, friends get tired. Verse 40 says, he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. They're good friends, aren't they? The night before you're about to be crucified, his mates go to sleep on him. Here's the good news, God never gets tired. In Jesus' hour of greatest needs, his friends fall asleep, but his Father remains faithful. The second step which Jesus did is he reached out to his Father. Right before Jesus felt physical pain, he was already suffering psychological pain and spiritual pain, but he reached out to his Father. He says in verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father." How did he reach out for a conversation called prayer? Prayer is something that we've put in this spiritual box, that we have to dress a certain way, face a certain direction. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You don't have to put your hands together to pray. This is what prayer is. It's a conversation. It's a conversation. And Jesus did this in the garden. And we can come to our Abba Father, our spiritual dad, and we can say, life sucks. We can say, life doesn't make any sense. We don't have to dress our pain up to God. You might have to dress your pain up when you share it with a friend or even a family member. You might have to just tell them a little bit of what's going on. But when you go to God, when you go to your Heavenly Father, you can say, God, life really doesn't make sense. I don't know what my next career direction is. I don't know who can help me, but God, I need your help. And prayer is simply an honest conversation from the heart. Maybe you've never prayed before. Maybe prayer is something new. Can I encourage you to try it? And here's the good thing. Friends can't be with you 24/7, but Jesus can. You can be on the way to work. You can be walking through town. You can be in the car. You can be on the bicycle. You can be heading into university. And you can say, God, I need your help today. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm having dark thoughts. God, my wife's driving me crazy. I wouldn't say that, obviously. But you can say whatever you're feeling. My dad taught me this about prayer. Three things: keep it honest, keep it simple, keep it up. Just keep it honest, keep it simple. I'm a simple bloke. I drink builder's tea. I just love being around honest, normal people. This is going to scare you, but religion scares people away. Well, this isn't religion. This is relationship. Prayer is a simple conversation between you and God. How good is that? So how do we face Fridays? If you're in pain right now, how do we face Fridays? Our Father and our friends. That's how we're going to get through these days. Number two, second question. Is this helping anyone? How do we get through our Saturdays of confusion? Imagine the disciples. Jesus has been crucified. His body has been taken down and sealed in a tomb. Jesus was meant to overthrow the Roman Empire. Now he's dead and in the grave. What do Saturdays represent? They represent why. I know for Chantel, she asked that question many times over the next few days and weeks. Why was my dad taken from me? Why? Why did I have to go through that messy divorce? Why am I losing hope? Why me? I imagine the disciples did a lot of asking why in that season. Judas must have asked why. Why did I betray the man who loved me? Peter, why did I deny the man who took care of me? Saturday was the day of confusion for the disciples because nothing made sense. I feel like the whole of 2020 was a Saturday. And the start of 21. Anyone feel like Saturday just keeps going? You just keep walking to the kettle in the kitchen thinking, is this Groundhog Day? This is Groundhog Day. Is this ever going to end? I'm desperate to walk down the aisle again. That's on an airplane. Pennies drop and I see it sort of goes down. And maybe you started a new business and it just didn't work out. And you're going, why? Maybe you're involved in a relationship and you knew this was the one, and then suddenly he did something like, whoa, where did that come from? And our world just feels so confused. So how do we get through a season of confusion? Let's go back to the Easter story. Two portions of scripture, Matthew chapter 27. First portion says, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive that the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day." It is astonishing that the Roman guards placed security on a corpse. Can we just get our heads around that? Once someone goes in the ground, they're in the ground. You don't have to bring a police officer to... Second portion of scripture. Mark 16 says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Two different expectations of what was going to happen. First expectation came from the Romans. They put an armed guard on the tomb just in case something outside of the ordinary took place. Second expectation was the two Marys and Salome. They came and they brought spices. Now, if you go to a grave with spices, Jewish custom, you're not expecting the body to come back from the grave. You're going to rub them in because it is a custom for those Jewish people. So the fact they brought those spices to anoint Jesus shows me that they did not expect Jesus to come back from the grave. Now write this down. This is critical here in this moment. Jesus' enemies expected his resurrection, but his friends did not. Jesus' enemies. You don't put an armed guard at a grave unless you're expecting something to happen. Let me explain it like this. A few months ago, I went for a jog on a Saturday morning, and I ran past a guy, and he had the full Norwich City kit on. Who knows? That's keen. I mean, you know, a jersey with the jeans, that's cool. But when you start putting the shorts and socks on, you know, something's going on. So I shout out, and we had a game in the afternoon. I shout, "Oh, good to see him out." I said, "We'll get 3 points later." He shouts back, "Not a chance." Now, think about this. He's got the full kit on. I'm pretty sure if he's wearing a full kit in the city, he's probably got a season ticket. He's probably going to go for some food before and after the game. He pays his money, but he has no expectation. How many believers are like this fella? We profess to be Christians. We bring our big Bibles around, lay them open for everyone to see. We even give our money to the church, but we have no expectation that God is going to do anything in our lives. So here's the deal. The Romans knew he was dead, yet they kept watching and expecting something to happen. The girls expected nothing to change. So the question is, how do we get through our Saturdays of confusion? Are you ready for this? This is it. You've got to live with a sense of faith-filled expectation. You've got to expect your situation and your current circumstances to change. Some of us have just accepted, life just sucks, or life just sucks. Or you can live with an expectation. I'm believing that something is going to shift in our city. Something is going to change. Do you expect your situation to change, or have you accepted your current circumstances? Chantal and I, we weren't just going to accept the doors of the church are going to be closed for 18 months. We weren't going to live with it like that. We're going to push things forward. We're going to keep taking risks. We're going to keep believing God that the church can even advance during a pandemic. We're going to believe God that our church is going to be protected. We're going to believe God that our staff will continue to be paid. We're going to believe God that still heal sick people. We're going to believe God. Why? Because we've got to live like the Romans who had an expectation that something was going to change. So the question is, what are you believing God to do in your life? You know, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. 7,000. We've got to get to know them. The Bible says God does not break a promise. There's two things God cannot do. He cannot lie and he cannot break a promise. You know, I think the disciples could have had a very, very different Saturday if they just remembered Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, he began to teach them. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Do you know Jesus predicted his own resurrection, yet the people closest to him could not see it? Listen to the people closest to you. Often the people closest to us know us better than ourselves. You see, if I don't remember the promises of God, this is what happens. I begin to worry. I begin to get anxious. I get stressed, and I become a Saturday human. Here are some of the promises that Chantal and I hold on to in the Saturdays of life. And let me tell you, we've had many Saturdays in this season, just like you. We've had many days of confusion. We've had many days of pain, many Fridays. But we've got to hold on to the promises of God. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts I have towards you, Mark. I know the thoughts I have towards you, Clive. I know the thoughts I have towards you, Pete and Ron. Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a future." God has got a future, a glorious future, and a plan for your life. Maybe you're struggling in the area of finance. Maybe you don't know what your job looks like next, but the promise is this: my God shall supply all your needs, not according to your pension fund, your investment fund, not according to your employer, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So what happens when you begin to hold on to the promises of God? Your expectation changes. I'm expecting 2021 to be the best year we've ever had as a church. I don't just say that as light words. I'm expecting this will be our best year. For Chantel and I, this will be the strongest year of our marriage, because I've got to expect it. If not, what's the alternative? Then Saturday is a hallway to Sunday, the day of victory. We've been through the Friday of pain. We've traveled into the Saturday of confusion. And now, Resurrection Sunday. So how do we reach our Sundays of victory? Who's believing for a Sunday of victory? Who needs a miracle? Who needs a change in their life? Who needs a change of career, direction? Come on, who needs that change? We cannot get to this place alone. Self-help might help, but you need more help. Luke 24:6 says this. It says, "He is not here. He is risen." The disciples and Mary, they couldn't raise Jesus from the dead. You can't raise a dead person. Humanly impossible. Doesn't matter what medicine, doesn't matter what treatment, if you proclaim dead, you are dead. But something else was at play. And this is our key moment today. How do we reach our days of victory? Because God's desire is that we don't go through life in pain and confusion. That's not God's plan for your life. That's the enemy's plan. God wants you to live in victory. So the question is that. Now here's the answer. Are you ready? You depend upon the person and power of Jesus. We can't do this life on our own. We can't. I've watched people try, and you can do it on your own for a season and then life just crashes. Philippians 3:10 says, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection." Stop trying to do Fridays and Saturdays of pain and confusion alone. We need the power of Jesus at work in our lives. We need the resurrection of power of Jesus in our city, in our country, in our world right now. If Jesus can raise a dead body, he can raise your dead career. If Jesus can raise a dead body, he can raise your dead marriage. If Jesus can raise a dead body, he can raise your dead situation. Whatever is dead right now, by the power, the person, and the presence of Jesus, he can resurrect. God can move you from a Friday of pain and a Saturday of confusion to a Sunday of victory. If you believe it, say amen. Come on. God wants to shift you today from pain to victory, from sickness to health, from mourning to dancing, from beauty to ashes, from lack to blessing, from darkness to light, from death to life. Amen. This is the road to Sunday. Sunday is coming in your life. How do we deal with our Fridays of pain and grief and sorrow, our friends and our Father? How do we get through our Saturdays of confusion? We live with a sense of expectation. And how do we reach our Sundays of victory? We lean on the presence and the power and the person of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we conclude the service? I want to pray for a couple of groups of people. First of all, I want to pray for a group of people that you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe it was a very different experience to what you're having today, but you sense that there's something in the room today. That's the person of Jesus. That's the power of Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to do life on your own. Maybe you've tried to look for happiness or fulfillment in so many things, but it keeps leaving this void in your life. That's because we all have this God-shaped gap, and only God can fill it. You can try and put so many different things in there, but you'll still feel empty because Jesus is the missing piece of your life. He loves you, friend. He loves you so much. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he shed his blood. That's why he was whipped 39 times. He took all those beatings. He had his beard plucked. He did that because of his love towards you. We never close a service here without extending an invitation for people to invite Jesus into their lives. I was 12 years old when I made this decision. Has life been easy? No. We've been through a lot of pain, Chantal and I, and various things. It's been a lot of confusing days, but there's been one thing that's remained the same. Jesus has been with us every step of the way. Don't do life on your own. We need Jesus. We need the person, the power, the presence of Jesus in our life, especially in these dark days that we're living in. We need him more than ever. So I'm going to invite you right now just to close your eyes. If you say, John, that's me. I want to pray this prayer and invite Jesus into my heart. Here's what I want you to do. No one's looking around. Online, you can do this as well, wherever you are. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, John, include me in that prayer. All over this room. One, he loves you. Two, have the courage right now just to slip up nice and high. Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, that's me today. God bless you. God bless you right at the back. Well done. God bless you. You can put your hands down. We're going to say this prayer. And I want you to say it out loud after me. In the room, in our virtual services. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he took my place. Right now, I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me with your blood. Today is a new day. God, help me in my Fridays. Help me in my Saturdays. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, in fact, we're going to give you a hand. Everyone who said that prayer, come on, let's clap everyone who prayed that prayer for the first time, reconnected. A few minutes time, we're going to conclude the service and we're all going to be heading out through those doors just in this season. Normally, if you're here for the first time, normally we'd go back out and drink coffee and hang out and give everyone a hug, but we're not allowed to do that yet, but we are allowed to do this, which is good. And so we'll continue to do the things we can do. But we want to give you a gift if you prayed that prayer, or maybe you didn't pray that prayer, but you really want to know more about Jesus. There's a Bible here, and it's in modern day language. Okay, it's got stories in of changed lives. Please take one. Our team will be out there in the foyers. Please take a Bible, and we'd love to see you again on one of these Sundays. But let me, just before we do that, I want to pray for people who are struggling. I sense that a lot of people are struggling right now. Could be Fridays, you're in pain, physical, psychological, spiritual pain. It could be you're in a day of confusion. You're just confused about life. You're just trying to figure out your next move, trying to figure out what happens next, and you just don't know. But today I want to pray for the peace and the presence and the power of God to help you. Is that okay? So if you'd be really honest today, I'm going to start the ball rolling. Okay, I'm going to lift my hand. So I've got a couple of areas in my life I need God to help me. So should we do this together? And let's pray that God's going to really help us on these Fridays and Saturdays of life. Let me pray. Just be honest. Just lift up your hand. No one's looking around. It's just between you and God. But you're saying, God, I need you. In my hours of pain, in my Saturdays of confusion, I believe you can get me to my Sunday, but I need some help. So Father, right now, we need you. We need you, God. I need you personally. And just as you went to your Father, we come to you. We ask for your help in our days of pain. We thank you that even if friends aren't able to be there for us, Jesus, you will always be there for us. In our good times and even in the tough times, we can turn to you. Lord, I pray, Father, for everyone who's dealing with grief and sorrow and loss and pain right now. You promised that you would comfort those who mourn. I pray that you'd bring comfort into homes, into families, into marriages, for those who've lost a loved one over this pandemic, for those who are struggling in their bodies, in their minds, in their spirits. Lord, I pray for those who are confused, confused about their careers, confused about life, confused about relationships, friendships, wherever that confusion is. I pray that the Prince of Peace, Father, Lord, I pray for a fresh confidence. I pray that you'd bring them out, Father God. I pray, Lord, that confusion would turn into a new expectation of what God can do in people's lives. And I thank you that Sunday is coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but there is joy, there is victory, there is breakthrough coming in people's lives in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.